Revelation 8, 1 through 5, these are God's words. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So up until this point, the book of Revelation has been a very loud book. The multitude and the 24 elders and four living creatures have been continuously proclaiming the praise of God and making a great noise of it. And the last seal, the seventh seal, actually introduces something very interesting. He opens the seventh seal, and the whole seventh seal is just silence. There's some action that takes place. It appears during the silence, or perhaps after the silence. But the seventh seal is silence. And as sometimes happens, when it's been very noisy for a while, silence, by contrast, is very marked. For instance, every once in a while, when this room is full of people having good fellowship and making lots of noise, and I get up in the front, every once in a long while when I get up in the front, everyone becomes silent. And it's quite sudden, and it's quite marked. Much more rarely, in our house, which, you know, there's 10 of us, and we're usually all kind of in the one room, if you count the kitchen and the dining area together. If suddenly everyone is quiet, it is a very quiet, suspenseful even. And that's what's happening here. There is this silence that is marked by its contrast to how loud everything has been up until this point. And then to increase the markedness of the silent, what gets passed out to seven angels? Seven trumpets. These are very loud trumpets, the kind of thing that you would blow to summon or direct or instruct an entire army what they should do. And so the silence both is contrasting what has come before, and it's anticipating what is about to come. The Lord is about to do something. But notice what he appoints to instigate his own action. And we see that it instigates action because once it happens, we have this great noise and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake on earth, verse 5, which are followed by the trumpets being sounded one at a time in heaven, beginning in verse 7. So what does he appoint, or what does he ordain to instigate this this great actions in earth and heaven that he is building this suspense for? Well, verse 3, there's this other angel. And this other angel is acting as a priest, which I think gives us an indication of who he might be. He's a priest. He takes this golden censer, this fire pan or maybe a fire bucket, this bucket of that you would use for carrying fire in it. But this thing is full, not yet of coals at first. It's full of incense. He's given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar that is before the throne. And so we've already seen in chapter 5 and verse 8 the prayers of the saints as golden bowls of incense. And so in addition to the prayers of the saints, there is this much incense that this other angel, the angel of the Lord probably, whom we know after his incarnation as the Lord Jesus, his God the Son. And he offers his incense along with all the prayers of the saints, which are their incense. In verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascends before God from the angel's hand. And so the smoke is going up, and now he's got an empty fire pan or bucket, and he fills it with something else, not incense this time, but what? Then the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire from the altar, and he threw it to the earth. So he refills it this time with the fire from the altar. The trumpets that are going to be blown, and every time one is blown, a new devastation comes, are not merely the wrath of God breaking out. The wrath of God breaks out as an answer to the saints' prayers and a response to the sacrifice of Christ and an answer to the additional incense that he adds to the prayers of the saints. Our prayers do not go up to God by themselves. They are always carried by Christ and his intercession for us. And these prayers carry with them two great forces. One is, have two great significances. One is the sweet aroma that Christ himself is to God, the one who went up. Verb for resurrection is the same verb that is used throughout the Greek Old Testament for the going up of the smoke and the going up of the incense and the going up of the offerings unto God. There is something in the resurrection of Christ going up to God on our behalf, having already offered himself and that offering been accepted. And the scripture also uses that language of the Lord's offering himself as a sweet aroma. And so that's very powerful. But the prayers of the saints also carry with them the significance and force of the burning wrath that has been absorbed on our behalf so that we are received favorably. We are received propitiously. That's related to that word propitiation. And the burning wrath of God is actually provoked all the more against those who obey not the gospel. That's the language that the Apostle Paul uses, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. He says to them, "We ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." And you remember not only the prayers of the saints that were bowls of incense in chapter 5, but also in the fifth seal, the prayers of the saints, "How long, O Lord?" And this patience is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's something about Jesus having suffered in our place and the wrath of God that has been absorbed concerning saints in the case of Christ that provokes the fury of God against those who do not receive Christ, who obey not the gospel. And so the coals that are thrown by this last great angel with his refilled censer have not just the implication of God responding to our prayers, but the wrath of God, even in connection with the sacrifice of Christ, issuing forth. Now remember, before all of this, the seventh seal and the trumpets, he sealed those who were his servants, the 144,000, as it were, a figurative number in chapter 7. And so that which comes as punishment for those who are not in Christ does not come as punishment for those who are the servants of God. Now, we see from this that the saints, that's you, who have been set apart to God in Christ, are a praying people of a praying Savior. Verse 3, he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints. Also a text that we often sing in Psalm 32, thus shall all the godly pray, in Psalm 32. Saints are a praying people, and we are a praying people of a praying Savior. Christ is much glorified by our praying through him, and it is these prayers that God has given the privilege of provoking his great actions. God here, when he is about to do something new and something great, he starts with the silence, and then he responds to the prayers of his people. We come in weakness. It's the middle of the week, kind of late in the day. We've all usually had a long day, and we gather, and we call upon God through Christ. And it is a very lowly kind of action that we do. And yet the living God, who has ordained to do great and glorious things, has ordained to do them in response to this action. So not only are the saints a praying people of a praying Savior, but we have a prayer-answering God. Behold, how great are his doings in response to the going up of this smoke and this incense. When the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth, and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. So let us learn to pray not only in reaction to our circumstances, which sometimes those prayers take the form that we saw earlier, how long, O Lord? But let us also learn to pray in anticipation of the great actions of our Father in heaven, who responds to us in his Son, and who responds to his Son, who prays with us. Amen.